Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, when was the last time we talked about cricket?
Wasn't that long ago.
We talked
about the great summer that Australians had and Pat Cummins as a new coach.
What about Dino Rahoti, the Trinity cricket coach?
Scholars coach. He's a good bloke.
Yeah, we haven't had him on for a while.
When did we have him on last? Last year we talked, I think at the start of the cricket season.
Yes, we did.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, Dino.
Welcome. Good to be here again.
Now, the reason I wanted Dino here was because what we haven't spoken about is the Justin Langer resignation and the sort of lead up to that, because that became a big story, didn't it? We won the Ashes, we're doing really well, but there's been this undercurrent of information about Justin Langer, the players, unrest with the players and so on. So his contract, of course, was coming up. So it had been this sort of ongoing talk, hadn't it? And, of course, it got to the point where Cricket Australia only offered him, I think, a six-month
contract,
and he declined that and resigned. But in the meantime, it was when the media were talking to Pat Cummins and current players, it was probably what they weren't saying
more so
that was the most damning, wasn't it?
And, of course, the culture, Australian cricket culture is changing, hey?
Well, that's part of what I wanted to talk about, and I thought we've got a young coach here. So, and I read an interesting article on the weekend talking about the culture of Australian cricket.
Yep.
And it's saying it's like cancerous, it's so nasty, talking about like basically from Chappells onwards, how there's been this process of sledging, and even I think
Steve Waugh
called it mental disintegration. Yep. So that was their plan and their policy. And, of course, that didn't happen just at international level. That filtered down into our state domestic level. And so they saw that as a way of toughening up players, because they felt you've got to be, when you get out on the field, you've got to be hard and tough. And, of course, we've had great wins because of that, but they're saying that's what it's all about. And, of course, we've got this now change in the way people play.
So, Dino, first question to you would be, how well does mental disintegration work with players today?
Well, having played quite a bit of cricket over the past few years in Australia, sledging in community cricket or amateur cricket is still a big thing. And some teams really embrace that type of cricket, but it's sort of fading away and people are embracing the new way of playing cricket. And yeah, it's sort of interesting to be involved in this current space at the moment where players are sort of going in a different direction.
Do you think the Australian team per se influences the culture of cricket right around at the lower levels?
Yeah, most definitely. Like been working with a lot of young players in Australia, they always look up to what they see during an Australian cricket summer. And that's mainly a driving factor of how kids play their cricket and sort of look up to those guys. And I think it has got a lot of influence on how cricket is played at a junior level and going upwards through all Australian cricket pathways.
You've played cricket not just all around the world. Is it different in different countries? Like we're talking, and there has been a lot of talk about this sort of culture, Australian cricket culture, and whether it's a good thing or not. You've travelled around the world playing cricket. Is it like that everywhere?
I'll be honest and say it's definitely different playing cricket in Australia. I think they play a much more aggressive brand of cricket here, and it is highlighted by that way of that brand of cricket of a bit of sledging, play hard cricket as they refer to it here. But if you go to the UK, it's a more laid-back approach. It's a different type of cricket there. And if you play with a lot of cricketers from an Asian background, they're even more mellow. So I would like to think Australia is a very different brand of cricket playing here. And, yeah, I think for a cricketer, it's a pretty good experience if you want to challenge yourself and sort of go forward. But with the way cricket is going now, cricket is taking a different direction, and I sort of agree with where the game is going now to an extent.
So listening to, I think, Andrew McDonald, the caretaker coach or whatever we want to call him, on the weekend, they were talking to him in the media, and he talked about this idea of player empowerment. He was saying we need to move away from the fact that it's coach-centric and everything the coach says and does is the way to go. It's about empowering the players to make better choices, to be part of the whole process. And that's, and again, I don't know the ins and outs, but to me that's a very maybe different approach than Justin Langer. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, most definitely. Looking at the past coaches who have coached cricket while looking at Australia, the micromanagers, if you can look at it that way, they take most of the direction of the team with regards to selection processes of teams, even the people who are in charge of cricket in Australia. To sort of mellow down to what you have just referred to with Andrew McDonald is a very different direction, and no wonder there's been a lot of discussions concerning the topic. But I think player empowerment with where we are at the moment in the world cricket, it's a good thing, but there has to be a balance, I think. But giving players the honors to like take lead off the team, just the whole vibe of the environment is a good thing, and sort of a different way to go about coaching.
You know, they say the most important position in Australia isn't the Prime Minister, it's the captain of the Australian cricket team. And, of course, we all know about Don Bradman's career and sort of how fantastic that was, but we never hear about any coaching back there. I think Bobby Simpson was the first of many lines of coaches for Australia in the 60s or 70s or thereabouts. But how important is a coach to the Australian cricket team?
Well, cricket is a very big sport in Australia, and it has got a lot of rich history, dating back a lot of years going back. And I think as a cricket coach in Australia, it's probably the most important job in Australian sport, if I can say. And even if you just have a look at a lot of cricket coaches going around in the world, most cricket coaches are former Australian first-class players in and around Justin Langer's age as well. And I think because it's the biggest sport in Australia, you got to have the right person for the job, and Australians want to see Australian cricket winning, which is a big thing for them. And looking at the situation we have now and the interest it has stirred up in media and everything, it sort of highlights how important this job is for everyone. And they haven't even rushed into getting a new coach too, which is going to be interesting to see which direction they're sort of heading.
I think we're heading into a new sort of era. I mean, it's been now for a while, but the way we coach and teach, for example, because the younger generation think differently, act differently, yep, have different set of values, etc. So we're seeing in other sports as well, aren't we, where head coaches at certain level don't last very long, and there's all this talk about the unrest with the players. And so there seems to be, you've really got to have the players on side. It's gone those days where basically you're the player, I'm the coach, this is what we're going to do, this is how it gets done, you just get the job done. And I know, I think from my own experience as an athlete coming through, track and field is a very different coaching relationship than a team thing, but I certainly wanted a lot more say and direction in what I was doing as I got older, because I had experience. I knew what I wanted. I thought, hang on, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do this. I think this is a better direction. So I know my relationship with my coach changed, where it became a lot more dialogue, a lot more communication, and we worked as a team. Whereas when I was a younger athlete, I didn't have that experience. I didn't know. So I was learning from them and took everything they said as that's what I need to do. So I imagine it's probably similar at this level. Like if they're young players, they've got to learn the game, learn the skills. But you get to the Australian level and you're in the Australian team, like you know your stuff, don't you? So is it really then a coaching role or a managing role? And even other sports like, you know, soccer, for example, they call it a manager.
And baseball. In America, they're managers. So How do you take on what Sean's just said about that, the relationship between a coach and a player?
Oh, totally agree with that. Like looking at the Australian cricket team now, there are a few guys who are very experienced now. Most of their team is late 20s, early 30s. And that was the sort of the conversation which was happening, of the players saying that we're not all for what has been happening, like being told everything, being told what to do. We sort of want more of a mentor and a man manager for us, someone who can sort of just help us to have the right conversations to move forward as a team. And looking at the modern player as well, it's a different ball game. They've got different needs. They've got more options, if you can say. There's mental health. Now they've been playing in bubbles. So there are a lot of things to consider. And I'd say a lot of things which have been brewing up considering where we are at as Cricket Australia at the moment. So there's a lot to think about and a lot of interesting factors which are pretty worth noting and thinking and talking about.
Well, you know, the thing is, like I was saying, in Don Bradman's day, they probably didn't have a coach. And then a coach came on board. But nowadays, you not only have the coach, you have specific coaches for fielding and bowling and batting and a whole range of different things. So it is almost a team behind the team.
Yeah, yeah. Like coaching teams now will probably consist of 8 to 16 people or doing different things. And that's how sport has sort of evolved now, because they don't want one person to be doing everything, which is something I sort of agree with. And it sort of gives players more time with someone who can do a good job to help you. And you get to hear something from a different voice, which is always good. And these guys are going on tours for 3-4 months. So if you're one person doing everything, it's sort of it is a big ask for anyone to do that. But it has its negatives as well. And that's why sport, high performance sport per se, has sort of become a dog kind of industry, where if you don't get results, they just get rid of you. There's a lot of retention with regards to players, coaches, and assistant staff, as well as management as well. So it's just a very big industry which is sort of evolving at the moment.
And of course, they look outside of cricket as well, because they had Mike Young, who was a successful Australian baseball coach. He took Australia to the gold medal in 1999 with the Intercontinental Cup for baseball. And then he became the fielding coach for Australia. And all of a sudden, you saw the Australian fielding pick up, and that's when they had the successful period. So obviously, there's a lot of value about taking the best of type coaches from other sports.
Yeah, of course. It's really a good thing to have, especially as a professional sportsman in any environment, to hear from a different person, from a different perspective. I guess if you want to sort of create a new benchmark, you sort of have to think outside the box and look for new ideas. And how good is a baseball coach to take up a fielding role for a cricket side? I think it was a very good idea, and some of the best competitions in world cricket took it upon themselves to try new things like that, and they haven't gone backwards. It has been a massive thing for world cricket, and I think in T20 cricket they're having the same thing. Baseball batting coaches doing cricket coaching, cricket batting coaching for international cricket, which is pretty good.
I'm interested in your opinion on Pat Cummings. I felt really sorry for him at one of the media conferences where people were really badgering him about what he thought of Justin Langer and his support of Justin Langer. And I thought, wow, this is really awkward, because he wasn't prepared to say anything. And he was towing the line, well, that's not really my position. That's for Cricket Australia and so on. But, you know, when you've got people like Ponting and Warne and Gilchrist who are, and Steve Waugh, I mean, they're Australian heroes. Like, people are going to listen to them. And that old guard are now the media. And, of course, they're the ones doing the media and writing stories. And so people are going to listen to them. They were very damning of Pat Cummins and the current situation, and very supportive of Justin Langer. I mean, Mitch Stark called him gutless. So here's someone you've played with and bowled with, calling the Australian captain gutless because he wasn't prepared to say openly maybe what he and other players thought. So to me, that's probably a sign of respect. I don't want to say anything negative because we're thinking this, but it's not for you to know. It's up to Cricket Australia. But he did come out and say, to all past players, I want to say this, just as you have always stuck by your mates, I'm sticking up for mine. And I thought, that's a good, clear statement. So I've been really impressed with Patrick Cummins as the captain, not only on the field but off the field. What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think... Well, going forward, we'll probably look back at this period as one of the most challenging times for him as a captain. And I think the way he sort of handled it was pretty good. And obviously to sort of come out and stick up for his mates, who were obviously part of the drivers in the decision-making with regards to how they move forward as a team, is pretty courageous and pretty brave. I think going forward over the next few years, we're probably going to see if this was worth it or if this was a good move going forward. And I think they've done the right thing to sort of transition as a team and go in a new direction. But how they got rid of Justin Langer could have been handled much better.
Thank you very much for that, Dino. And that's all we've got time for today, Sean. So ends another Carlin Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.